You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Yeah.
You have to listen.
Now I have to pick a different sound.
I'm Navi. Are you going to use Navi?
I was going to.
Yay!
Navi is probably...
Oh, I'm so glad you weren't going to continue that the whole episode.
No, I won't do that. I won't put our listeners through that. But I have to say, I think Navi's like one of the most annoying video game companions ever. He's up there. Or it's up there. I don't know what his gender is.
She? Was she?
I don't fucking care. She is, yeah, I mean, really just serves no purpose other than, like, in the tutorial segment. And after that, it's like, we don't need you anymore, Navi. You go to the one of the, what, three timelines in Zelda you were
three.
Talking
there
about?
There are three timelines.
You explained them to me, like, twice, and I still don't understand.
After you were explaining to new intern, Tracifer, how to, like, do everything, you were like, wait, what's the timeline again?
It's something to do with Ocarina of Time. Like, that was the branching off.
Ocarina of Time really fucked up a lot of things.
Did it?
Yeah.
It's a good game, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a solid. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Well, we're going to have, I think, a really great discussion about the entire Zelda franchise in this newest episode of We Are Air.
24, in case you forgot what.
Yes, 24. It's so many. It's like we are almost a quarter of a century old, John. We've been doing this for almost 25 years.
Hey,
it's just flown by.
That was
by.
A big old reach there.
Yes, it was. You know, I got to try. But yes, welcome everyone to We Are Air. I am Christopher Herman, and I'm joined by John Roma, my staunch fellow host who is always – he does so much work for OneOfUs.net. I mean, he puts together the podcast. You bring it together. I mean, I'd be nothing without you. Honestly, I'd be like, what am I doing? What am I going to do?
You are doing so much and like helping the interns and like doing editor stuff that I'm like, you know, I'm going to help us out in our own little corner, put together a schedule. Yeah. Let's kind of like plan it out, which I'm really excited for the future. Like, we've got a much better schedule set for us.
Yeah, I think, you definitely been using that Google Calendar, and I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, so we have a great schedule of game reviews and topics, before we don't want to spoil anything, so we're just going to go into the main show right now. We're going to talk about the news, and I think there's some really great news stories this week. And of course, the first one is, I think, the new Horizon Zero Dawn story trailer. Now, for those don't know, Horizon Zero Dawn is an exhilarating new open-world action role-playing game exclusively for the PlayStation 4. Developed by the award-winning Guerrilla Games, creators of the PlayStation's venerated Killzone franchise. Not the biggest fan of it, but okay, I'll let
them. Awards?
Yeah. The PlayStation Awards. I'm sure that they won quite a few. take on the role of skilled hunter Aloy.
Alloy?
Alloy? Isn't that like a sauce?
It's metal. It's like metal. Like a metal alloy?
No, alloy. But that there's another L, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just like, it's a weird sort of like tribal way to spell it. Like, get because the game is like a mix of the past and the present.
Oh, okay, yeah, because that's what it is. Aloy, the condiment girl, as you explore a vibrant and lush world inhabited by mysterious mechanized creatures, embark on a compelling emotional journey and unravel mysteries of tribal societies, ancient artifacts, and advanced technologies that will determine the fate of this planet and life itself. Now, for me, I think that this trailer, sells home the fact that gameplay is going to be the thing that people are going to be concentrating on in regards to this thing. Like, I love it.
Is that a nice way of saying you already don't care about the story?
No. Well, here's the thing. Well, I think the gameplay looks great. The open world environments look amazing because they have these jungle, environments and these plains, like open plains and tundra kind of stuff. But the thing that bothers me is that, I don't know, but like the facial animations, some of the characters, like some of the lip syncing is really off, and it made me disinterested in the story.
I'm really glad I wasn't the only one who noticed this. Okay. It was particularly with the main character.
Oh, that and the old woman.
I don't know. It's at first I was like, why does she just like look really? I don't want to say the term unattractive, but
people have actually been. I've read the comments.
I don't mean it like that. I just mean it like her facial animation seems off, or there's not enough detail.
Yeah,
which is really odd because there's another character, I don't know his name, and I'm going to identify him as the black character, because I think he's the only black character in the trailer, but have you ever seen The Guest with Dan Stevens?
Yeah, I love
it. Okay,
dude, you know about my Dan Stevens crush, don't you?
You mean everyone's Dan Stevens crush?
Yeah, okay.
Me and Trace did an old show where we talked about The Guest, and we just called him Sexy Dan Stevens throughout the entire episode.
I'm going to put a pin in this, but before we do, we have to, like, the three of us have to get together and, like, do a podcast with Chris Cox, and we just have to... Because his whole thing is with Chris Hemsworth, and we have to show him that Dan Stevens is the best. We all got to gain up, because he always makes fun of me, because I secretly... really care for Dan Stevens. So yeah, we gotta do that together, but continue on with your point.
The police chief, or the CIA agent, the black CIA agent,
yeah,
he's the voice actor and motion capture for that black character. And I thought there was a lot of good detail. Maybe it was because his voice was recognizable to me, and so I could kind of project that. But I thought him and some of the other tribal chiefs, they had pretty good animation. So I just thought it was really weird that the main character who we zoom in on for 30-40% of this trailer has just a really weird mouth movement.
I think like a lot of the characters do. Like I said, the old grandma chief, I thought she had the worst. I'm thinking nothing matched for what she just said. So that was very weird and kind of off-putting. So, I mean, the game comes out in a month.
Yeah, I was like, this is pre-beta information, right?
Yeah.
Oh, we got 6 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, maybe that'll be one of the things we'll be talking about in the review. Because here's the thing, I'm actually really looking forward to the game. Because again, the gameplay just looks spectacular.
I'm looking forward to the death of Killzone. Well, it's just the most like blah franchise.
It is. However, I will say that Killzone Mercenaries,
the Vita,
the Vita one was actually probably the best Killzone game and a really underrated game.
I've actually heard this.
I actually bought it when I bought my PS Vita. It came with it, and I was really impressed by it. Like if Vita has a great AAA game, it's Killzone Mercenaries. Speaking of Killzone Mercenaries, Guerrilla Cambridge, a branch of Killzone developer Guerrilla Games, is closing its doors and all employees will lose their jobs. A statement from Sony provided to GI Biz today confirmed the closure, adding that the layoffs are regrettable. Sony's statements went on to say that its decision to close Guerrilla Cambridge came after a review of the company's entire portfolio of projects and resources. In order to deliver on our strategic objectives, it is necessary to make some changes to the European studio structure, it said. Where possible, Sony said it will attempt to move affected developers to other internal projects. If that is not possible, Sony said it will connect with local studios to discuss job opportunities. Whilst we accept that, I don't like that. Well, I say while we accept, I'm going to say while we accept that this decision will mean that we risk losing high caliber staff by focusing on other studios with exciting new projects in development, including continued work on PlayStation VR, believe we will be in a stronger position going forward and able to offer the best possible content of the highest quality to our players. Sony's statement goes on to say, this decision should not take anything away from the incredible games and services that Guerrilla Cambridge has delivered. Guerrilla Cambridge was formerly known as SCEE Cambridge Studio. It had been operational for close to 2 decades. It is not immediately clear how many people worked at the studio. The studio's latest game was Riggs Mechanized Combat League for PlayStation VR. That's probably what killed it. The studio also developed Killzone Mercenaries, which we just mentioned, and the PSP version of Little Big Planet. Some of its older games include the Medieval series, Primal, Ghost Hunter, and a licensed game based on Fox's TV show 24. The closure of Guerrilla Cambridge does not affect the main Guerrilla studio, which is located in Amsterdam. The studio's current project is Horizon Zero Dawn, which comes out this February, like we said. So, again, for me, having most recently played Killzone Mercenaries actually over the winter break and being really impressed by them, I'm thinking, these Cambridge guys, I think they're going to have a bright future. It's like, ooh, yeah. So, I mean, anytime a studio closes down and, you know, so many people lose their job, it's always sad. But I'm hopefully that they'll at least be involved in other internal projects at Sony, or other developers will start hiring. There's always going to start hiring people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be harsh, but I'm surprised they really stayed on this long, I guess, because if you know, going down that list, well, there are some games in here that I love.
They're games.
Hey. So you failed to mention, before Medieval came 1997's Beast Wars Transformers.
No, I did not forget to mention that.
And Frogger for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
You put this thing on the news segment, and I was like, well, I wonder what else they made before that. And I don't know. I had a PlayStation growing up, and I never got to choose what games I had. I don't even know where the games came from. But a Beast Wars Transformers with the front cover missing, and Frogger were one of the few games that I had. So I played them a lot. And I just, when to see this, it really hit me in the heart just to think about people who were sort of instrumental in my early gaming years, alongside The Crash and Mortal Kombat Trilogy. That's usually what I was playing.
Yeah.
It's disheartening, and it's, I don't know, it at the same time, like I said, it's kind of odd to see that they were used for
VR.
So just kind of under the radar game. Like,
sure.
Why waste the studio on games like that? Like the 24 video game? Who?
Yeah, that was probably not the best game. I didn't play it. Maybe it was good.
Sure.
I don't think it was any on best of list back in the mid 2000s. But yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Just from my kind of experience, like I think I played Primal back in the day. It was a weird game where you played this
goth girl.
Yeah, it was basically a goth girl. She has these superpowers. Her boyfriend gets kidnapped by a pterodactyl or something. I don't remember, but it was weird and just crazy. It's like, wow, that was something. That was back, you know, when PlayStation 2, they were putting everything out, you know.
Primal's a weird game where I've never played it, never seen it played, but I remember its cover.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it has a good cover, you know, goth girl with a weird panther creature or whatever. Or leopard.
Gargoyle, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure. But yeah.
I'm just glad the Killzone franchise is done, too.
Mercenaries is good. It's the best Killzone game, I will say that.
It's just the most blah franchise.
It's not a
meant
great...
Meant to kill a franchise that I also
Halo.
Don't give a
meant
shit
to kill
about.
Halo.
I also don't like Halo.
Yeah, well, Halo's still around, so... but yeah, barely. I wish... Like you know, we both wish the people that worked at Guerrilla Cambridge the best of luck in finding new jobs.
Yeah, for real.
Moving on to some happier news. BioWare has announced that Mass Effect Andromeda will launch on March 21st in North America and March 23rd internationally. Not that matters in March 23rd. No one cares.
Europe, they don't need the games.
No. In a blog post on the game's official site, BioWare manager... Aaron Flynn called Andromeda the most ambitious Mass Effect game to date, promising a tremendous graphical jump compared to the original trilogy thanks to using the Frostbite engine. Flynn explained that several members of the studio took home a copy of Andromeda over the holiday break to put the game through its paces and make sure it was ready for release. Coming back from the holiday, the feedback has been great, he wrote. Getting the endorsement from members of our studio, many of whom played key roles on the original trilogy, was definitely a key factor in helping us lock in on the date. The announcement confirms the long-rumored March 21st date, which appeared in retailer listings and art book advertisements as far back as October. Mass Effect Andromeda was originally planned for holiday 2016, but was delayed to 2017 last March. A new look at Mass Effect Andromeda at CES 2017 revealed more gameplay and RPG mechanics. I mean, first of all, for me, I knew it. They had to release it in March because I think, you know, BioWare has like a long history of kind of releasing games in March. Mass Effect 3 came out in March, and I think a lot of their big DLC, like Citadel DLC, was also launched in March. So that's kind of their month. When I think of BioWare, I think of March. And also, the other thing was the gameplay that they showed. It's kind of the same, like, gameplay mechanics with, you know, features, like a third-person shooter. But they really went in-depth, or like to a certain extent, with like... the RPG mechanics and the upgrade system. It looks really dense. And as someone who loves
someone
who loves those like dense RPG mechanics, it's like I get to, you know, experiment and put my little 1 point in, you know, in electronics and, you know, 3 points into my flamethrower technique. It's like, oh my god, I love it. It speaks to me as a lifelong RPG player. So I mean, for you, are you excited by the this coming out so soon? And that what do you think of the little gameplay trailer at the show?
Well, a bunch of things come from this. I actually was excited. I don't really have an affinity for the Mass Effect series because it's just, I just never really dove into them, which you guys will get to hear me dive into the whole series throughout up to the release of Andromeda. But like I've said before, Andromeda being like a single series, like a single story has me excited because it's just easier for me to hop into that. It doesn't feel so daunting. I forgot that it got pushed back. I'm so glad it didn't come out holiday 2016 with Final Fantasy and like Last Guardian and all these other games.
We got buried.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily buried, but
maybe more competitive for it.
Especially against something like Final Fantasy. You're competing for the RPG market. There's a Western and a Japanese market.
It's going to sell better than Final Fantasy 15. I'll tell you that.
You
right
think
now.
So?
I do.
Probably.
Yeah. Let's do a bet.
Well, also with, you know, it depends. We are recording this the night before the Switch reveal.
Yeah. No Nintendo news tonight, folks.
A lot is going to probably weigh in on that. Like, when is the Switch coming out? Because Okay, it's not necessarily the same
market. Two different audiences. Two very different audiences.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is.
The hardcore people who want a new... who, if the Switch is like $250, $300,
yeah,
that just eats into the, well, I'll get the Switch now and like another game, and then I'll get Mass Effect.
I don't know. I just think it's two very different audiences. I think you've got that hardcore... I mean, they're going to be the first people that are going to buy the Nintendo Switch. So those 12 million people that are dying off, they're going to buy it. I think anyone who owns a PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, they're gonna, like, people who play those regularly, they're gonna go for Mass Effect. I think that's their big game in March. Where, yeah, I can't imagine, like, I mean, the,
what if they announce Zelda comes out?
It's not coming out the same week. No way. It's not a launch title.
How do you know? We don't. What if?
I can't.
What if, though? Do you think Mass Effect, like, suffers if Zelda's launch title with Switch and Switch comes out within 2 weeks? Or within a week?
I
think it does.
I don't know. That's...
It's Zelda.
Mass Effect sells better than Zelda. Like, recently? It sold better than Zelda.
Well, recently.
It sold better than Skyward Sword. And...
yeah, but that has to do with the Wii.
Yeah.
And, like, by the time Skyward Sword came out...
I think it only sold, like, just under... I think it was under, what, 2 million,
I think. I think by the time Skyward Sword came out, and we'll dive further into, yeah, this in the second part of the episode, but I was done with my Wii.
So was I.
Given it up. Yeah. So, like... I don't really think you can hold it to that standard. More maybe, okay, like what, how Link Between Worlds performed, maybe. But even then, that's late in the, yeah, DS cycle as well.
That's 3DS, yeah, yeah. It's a handheld. I think that's a different market. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I'll freely admit, I'm biased. I'm a Mass Effect fanboy, and I freely admit that. I mean, I criticize the series for certain things, but I don't know. I mean, there's going to be some bad news dropped on the NES, or NES, the NS reveal. And
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. For now, I'm going to still say I think... Mass Effect Andromeda doesn't have anything to worry about, even if the Switch launches.
Yeah. I am glad it's a March release, though, because first 2 months are kind of dry.
Yeah.
We're catching up on a lot of year-end stuff, mm-hmm, which I guess is good.
Yeah.
And probably well-planned. But by March, I'm probably ready for some new game.
Yeah, same. Exactly. Some more Mass Effect Andromeda news.
Of course.
Mass Effect Andromeda will buck the AAA trend by not including a DLC season pass. Excuse me, I burped. BioWare general manager and confirmed enjoyer of the letter Y in his name, Aaron Flynn, I think that's this. I like this writer, was asked whether the new game would adopt the sometimes controversial DLC pre-order model on Twitter. His response was to the point. Nope. It's not a huge surprise. The Mass Effect series has never previously used season passes. It's not clear if this means future DLC will be free, paid for individually, or use a different model. Flynn would not be drawn on what the game's DLC policy will be, saying we'll talk more about that later. The Mass Effect series has a checkered history with DLC, with some of its story packs regarded as among the best expansions ever made. I agree with that. With multiplayer item booster packs and locked story characters have drawn criticism. I agree with that, too. that's not great. So, I mean, I'm not surprised by this. I didn't think there'd be a season pass. BioWare is definitely... I mean, they never really had it before, and I didn't think that they would. There's definitely going to be DLC for the game. I can't imagine there wouldn't be. And I know you have a very negative opinion on DLC, but some of Mass Effect's best content has come from that. Some of those really fun side stories.
And also most necessary.
Yeah, I mean, for Mass Effect 3, they made some mistakes.
I'm just against that.
No, it was scummy, and I think they knew that. I think EA knows that. Now it's like, okay, do your thing. This is a fresh start. So, but
I think in light of, you know, again, Final Fantasy XV's DLC rollout.
Big season pass, right?
Yeah, which... It's going to focus on each hero, like each member of the group. Mm-hmm. And you get to apparently like dive deep into their story, who they are, and get to know them little more. Which is, for someone who spent 30 hours with those characters, I kind of do like them for some reason.
Like Prompto in the selfies?
I do! He's so goofy!
And his bleach blonde locks.
And I like Noctis. Near the end, I like start to really like Noctis. It was very strange. So much so, like... And we'll get to this in the full review.
So much so
that I started like finding out. Remember when we reviewed Kingsglaive? I was like, I'll never watch that YouTube series. I'm going to watch Brotherhood.
Really?
I'm just interested in it. Yeah.
Can't believe it.
So what I see Mass Effect doing, I think, would be really cool is like story packs based around specific side characters that you
meet.
Diving deep into their story. And that really does have me interested because it's not necessary. but it's very much tailored to those who are already in love with the product.
Yeah. And just to kind
of, I won't feel left out for not getting it.
Sure, sure. It would just flesh out, I think, yeah, exactly. Like something like Lair of the Shadowbrook, which I know you haven't played, it kind of fleshes out the character Liara Tassoni's story in Mass Effect 2 and then carries on in Mass Effect 3. You don't necessarily have to play that. But I think it's great for someone who loves that character. Yeah. So again, I hope they apply that to here. Some weird news. I thought this story was actually really funny. Former football player and wrestler Lenwood Hamilton is suing the creators of Gears of War, claiming the company stole his likeness and nickname Coltrane for Gears of War. Dude, you're like a decade late. This news comes via TMZ, and although the report doesn't specify which company is being sued, we can assume it is either Epic or Microsoft. Hamilton also claims to be acquainted with Lester Spite, voice of Augustus Cole, Coltrane, in Gears of War, from when they were wrestlers together in Soul City Wrestling. Hamilton says he discussed creating the Coltrane character for a video game with Spite and is suing him also. Further accusations include the character's physical appearance being identical to his own, with Hamilton also wearing a derby hat, wristbands, and sporting a gold front tooth. Coltrane doesn't have a gold front tooth. He also claims he hired a forensic voice examiner to compare his voice to Cole's, with the results being indistinguishable. Hamilton says his son's friend showed him Gears of War in January last year, and this was the first time he discovered the character. He's suing for sales and profits, and given how much Gears of War has made since 2006, he could be suing for a lot if the case goes through. And I just added this at the end. This is, you know, recently there was a kind of a similar case where an actor was very upset that their likeness was used in a game. A judge finally ruled in favor of letting the Lindsay Lohan versus Grand Theft Auto case move forward last year, but the lawsuit was dismissed just a few months later.
If someone as famous as Lindsay Lohan is not going to win a case like that against a rock star who, like, doesn't give
a
shit. They're just like, but, like, the power of Microsoft behind you, you're not going to lose that. And also, so late.
Yeah, it's so late. That's why I'm thinking, yeah, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know about this.
Also, Cole doesn't have a gold tooth. He does not have a gold tooth.
Yeah, there's some bullshit. No, he doesn't.
Does he have wristbands? Maybe when he plays football in one of the best scenes out of three.
I mean, what is a derby hat?
Because
Marcus has like a scarf around.
That's a do-rag.
It's a do-rag. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I call it a scarf.
Headscarf.
Yes. I'm very, very white. What's a do-rag? But I just think this is weird. Yeah, again, it's way too late. Over 10 years at this point, 11 years ago. It's ridiculous.
You know, also, if he's so acquainted with this Lester Spite,
he would have known.
He would have known he was voicing a character.
Yeah, I'm voicing this popular character. I'm getting paid all this money, you know, in this huge video game series. And everyone saw back in the day, you know, those Gears of War trailers. I mean, this is some bullshit. I'm going to call it right now. So, yeah, good luck to you. What's his name? Lenwood Hamilton. I don't think you're going to get much money. Now, some other... I wouldn't surprising news, but I would say not unexpected. As rumors earlier suggested, Microsoft has confirmed to IGN and others that the development on Scalebound has ceased. A Microsoft representative provided the following statement to IGN. After careful deliberation, Microsoft Studios has come to the decision to end production for Scalebound. We're working hard to deliver an amazing lineup of games to our fans this year, including Halo Wars 2, Crackdown 3, State of Decay 2, Sea of Thieves, and other great experiences. Microsoft further pointed to a recent post on its official site about its additional plans for 2017. When asked if the Scalebound IP is owned by Microsoft or developer Platinum, a Microsoft spokesperson simply said, "We do not comment on the details of our business agreements with partners," and provided no additional comment when asked if Microsoft will seek to work with Platinum on a separate project in the future. Scalebound was originally announced at E3 2014 and planned for a holiday 2016 release. Shortly before last year's E3, Platinum delayed the game to 2017 in order to deliver on our ambitious vision and ensure the Scalebound lives up to expectations. Executives from Platinum Games have since released statements about the surprise announcements. On Platinum's website, company president Kenji Sato said, "We are very disappointed things ended up this way, especially since we know many of our fans are looking forward to this game as much as we were. Going forward, we will strive to continue delivering high-quality games to you, starting with Nier Automata in March, including projects like Granubel Fantasy, Project RE:Link, and Lost Order in the future. We will support working hard to meet your expectations, and we look forward to your continued support." Meanwhile, game director Hideki Kamiya wrote a series of tweets about the situation. As you may have already heard, Scalebound has unfortunately been canceled. I'm very sorry to everyone who was looking forward to this game. Sorry to bring you such bad news at the start of the year. All I can do for you is promise to keep delivering fun games. I'll work extra hard to never have to let you down like this again, so I hope you will keep watching over us in the future, too. Kamiya also refuted rumors that he had taken time off for his mental health amidst the game's troubles. Interestingly, the latest issue of Famitsu includes a feature on Japanese developers' ambitions of the new year. Inside, Platinum producer Atsushi Inaba explained that we're putting all our efforts into creating a new title, while Kamiya says we are quietly making progress. It's not clear whether the two statements were made in the same conversation, but it could be an implication that Kamiya has already transitioned to a new project. Some have speculated that Microsoft removal mentions of Scalebound from its websites is because Platinum retains the rights to Kamiya's passion project, but neither Microsoft nor Platinum has commented on this. So, first of all, because I think the reaction to this has been profoundly negative on Microsoft, the fact that they canceled the game. You know, Microsoft has kind of had a history recently for the Xbox One of canceling kind of big titles. Fable Legends, which was kind of that 4v1 Fable game, which is very, very weird. That was canceled. Phantom Dust has gone silent, which was kind of to be a remake or a reboot of Phantom Dust, which came out on the Xbox years ago. And of course, now we have Scalebound. Now, here's the thing that people aren't talking about. Platinum Games had output has been atrocious for years. A lot of their games have been terrible. Like, off the top of my head, I can think of the most recent Ninja Turtles games, which I didn't include on this, but I think it was Ninja Turtles Madness in Manhattan, or wherever the hell it was. I mean, it's taken off the digital store. And so it's like, okay, and the game was terrible. Most recently, one of their other games, Legend of Korra, like all of their games that were like based on licensed properties were just so bad.
And I've also got to say real quick, it's okay. Kamiya, by the way.
Kamiya? Yeah. Well, thank you. Can you correct me while I'm talking? That's totally fine.
I'm sorry.
No, Kevin, no, at least you did.
It was bothering me that whole time.
What was I saying? Kamiya. Kamiya, I reversed.
He'll block you on Twitter.
He'll block me on Twitter?
Yeah. He's famous.
Well, what I'm saying right now,
very famous for like, if you say anything to him that isn't positive, he just says blocked. And then blocks you.
That's funny. Well,
it's pretty great.
He's actually, like me.
I love Kamiya.
And here's the other thing. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but I am not a fan of Bayonetta.
Oh, you don't?
I think those games, first of all, they're hack and slash gameplay, which I'm not a big fan of.
Okay.
I think the story is nonsense. I think the characters and dialogue are terrible. Mm-hmm. And I think that the level design is something that was back in the PlayStation 2.
So you don't like Devil May Cry or God of War either, right?
No, I don't.
Then get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, because they're PlayStation 2 games. Yeah, I don't like hack and slash. And like God of War, those games just have bad characters. But get back to Bayonetta and kind of Platinum. It's just like, I'm not surprised by this because I was shocked years ago when Scalebound was first announced that Microsoft would entrust Platinum to make an exclusive game for them. I was like, are you kidding me? With all the other titles that they're working on, and they're not like a huge team, and they're pumping out titles like it seems like every 3 months. It's just, it was surprising that they would cancel it after being, you know, advertising this for the past, 3 years now? But I'm not shocked that it's over. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I'm not shocked that it got canceled.
Okay.
I'm shocked it got canceled so far from when it was announced.
Yeah.
Like, you had to have wasted so many resources on this one product. And I do take offense a little bit to what you're saying. Not offense, but Platinum Games is essentially also Clover Studios.
Okay.
They're the predecessor. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to forget Okami or Beautiful Joe or God Hand. Like, those are all...
I played Okami. I thought it was fine.
Okay.
It had a great art style. It had a great art.
I think
style
to it. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh my fan god! Of hack Jesus and slash. Christ!
you don't like hack and slash.
No, I don't. And I don't like Raiden or Jack, wherever the hell his name is.
Stuff like Mad World, The Wonderful 101. They're all like fun, fine games. Yeah. I think Platinum Games / Clover Studios is one of the most underappreciated studios. I think they're full of very talented people who are put onto bad projects.
I agree with that.
And so I would have been very interested to see where Scalebound went because Beautiful Joe, an original IP, is awesome. I like it. I love the concept. I love the aesthetic. It's not perfect. Neither is Okami. But they feel very much the product of someone who is think like they don't feel like things that are built to be franchises. They feel like an original product, and that's very much what Scalebound seemed like to me.
Yeah.
Is just something very interesting that, you know, coming out of Microsoft, I think Microsoft does need more things like that, because honestly, my one is not getting any play because I don't really care what Microsoft's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Gears was fine,
mm-hmm.
but it was just Gears again.
Yeah.
So, and I know you disagree. But, yeah, and you go back to what you said. Is Crackdown 3 going to come out? Because all the projects, the big projects that were announced at that E3, Phantom Dust, I think Fable Legends was one of them.
And Fable Legends I knew was going to be dead on arrival.
And there was another one that I can't quite recall. It might have been Project Spark.
Project Spark, which came out, it did. I played it. But it's the content that they promised for it. Like, they were going to keep supporting it, like something like Overwatch.
Yeah.
Like, this before, you know, Overwatch was a thing. They were going to do that kind of similar, and nothing came of it.
Okay,
it was so like, we got to cancel this thing.
Everything.
They canceled
a lot of Xbox's original games that they told us were going to come, they just haven't.
Yeah.
And so, like, what is Microsoft doing? And I'm very,
in terms of exclusives, what are they doing?
Yeah, and I mean, Last Guardian did come out eventually, and
it sucks.
I don't know yet.
It should have stayed dead. That's what I'll say. I'll save the rest for the review. But it's like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm not, little pin in this. Have a lot of, other than the exception of like Uncharted or Bloodborne, I think a lot of Sony's exclusives have been kind of a letdown to a certain extent. I'm just gonna put that out there just to be fair.
Yeah, I just think the age of exclusives is.
It doesn't matter. I think it's.
It doesn't matter anymore. So, like, things like. Honestly, at this point, exclusives kind of upset me.
Yeah.
So, like, why isn't Dead Rising 4 on the PlayStation?
I thought it is.
It's not. I don't think so.
It's not.
I don't think so. Am I wrong?
Dead Rising 3, I know, is
that's what
not.
Maybe that's what I meant.
Because they made a deal.
That's just annoying.
It happens. I mean, that's Street Fighter 5 is PS4 exclusive.
Yeah, that's a good game.
Yeah, but I haven't played it. I don't like Street Fighter.
You don't like fighting games, that's right.
I like Mortal Kombat, which people kind of poo-poo on, but I'm thinking...
No, Mortal Kombat X is great.
Oh, I know that, but the fighting game community say, like, oh, that's one of the... Like, everyone loves, like, Street Fighter, or, like, with Tekken Cross Street Fighter or whatever. Like, they all...
Tekken?
That. Like, Tekken, what the hell?
They also all love Smash Bros.
Yeah, well, I think they poo-poo on Smash Bros. I love Smash Bros.
Whoa, you're... No. What community are you listening to?
The fighting game. Like, the hardcore, like...
I like Street Fighter. At South by Southwest...
Uppercut, you know.
South by Southwest Smashers. Last year, I sat and watched an entire Super Smash Bros.
So did I. I was there.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah. It's before we met.
Whoa.
We're in the same room.
That's crazy. I was volunteering, so I got to watch the whole thing, like, front row.
Cool.
What were we talking about?
We were
Scalebound?
Yeah, Scalebound.
Platinum Games. Platinum Games is a great company. I hope they get to do what they want to keep doing. I don't really see them finding a publisher for this game because I get this feeling that maybe Kamiya is a little hard to work with. They had to have pumped a lot of money. Microsoft maybe wants some sort of reimbursement for that if you're going to try and publish this game. And Platinum Games, like you said, is a small studio that makes very niche titles. Vanquish was one of them.
Okay.
As well.
That was their last...
That was the one I should have pointed out to you.
Thank you, because Vanquish, I think, is one of my favorite underrated games on the last generation of consoles. I think that was their last truly great game. It's like, wow, this is really special and different. Even though it's taking the third-person shooter kind of formula, but doing something radically different.
But that's the thing about Platinum, is everything they do is so different. And I kind of need something like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's upsetting that this is leaving.
Yeah.
I would have loved to be Aragorn in Red Dragons.
Well, with, like, your headphones and you're rocking out while you're riding your dragon. That'd be kind of cool.
Is that what?
Yeah, that's what he was. He was, like, a punk kid who had, like, headphones and listened to music while riding a dragon.
That's basically punk rock Aragorn.
Yeah, it's punk rock Aragorn. That'd be great.
Looks like we've got our own little Triforce in here.
No, stop it.
Did it hurt?
Trish just smacked you on the face. It was very funny. I enjoyed that. We will not speak of terrible Zelda games here, John. We're going to talk about the good stuff.
We're heroes.
No, we're not.
Triforce heroes.
We have to climb on top
of each
other.
Is that what it was called? I can't remember.
It's Triforce heroes, and one of the game mechanics is you have to, like, climb on each other to do stuff. So if you want to do that right now, I'm all up for it.
Nah.
We're going to be the bottom. Or no, you can be beat. You guys ever seen The Human Centipede?
Yes.
Yeah. So, like...
It's not a good movie.
It's not a good movie, but it's kind of horrifying in a way. The idea that you're all kind of taped together, like, ass to mouth.
I mean, a lot of people liked it.
You would be B in this case, John. Like, you would be B.
Oh, yeah, that's been there both ways.
Yeah.
Like, that was always the worst person.
Yeah.
Like, A always had it the best.
And Trace and I will fight over A. But your fate is already decided. Hey, we're talking about Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
But... Did I totally throw you off the Human Centipede?
Yeah. Dude, I didn't think that's where we were going with it.
You think Link is an ass man?
I think he is. He's always going after Zelda the entire time.
Yeah, Zelda doesn't really have a
just
huge...
put out a promotion.
I don't
right?
You know, I actually don't want to talk about Zelda's rack.
We should. Does she? She's like
that.
She's
that's
like 12 years old.
I was going to say
not which time.
I was going to say she does it, and then I was like, that's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda, I mean, Link is an ass man.
He is an ass.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. I guess.
He likes to put his link in things.
So, who played The Legend of Zelda? 1987 came out for the Famicom back in the day. We didn't play on the Famicom, but I think we all played on the NES, or at least on the Game Boy. I played on the NES.
I played it on the Wii. The virtual console.
Mm-hmm.
What? When you turn the Wiimote sideways, and I think it's pretty good.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's also...
It's like, turns into like a long... NES or SNES controller, pretty much.
Yeah, basically. And if you don't have a GameCube controller, it's the only way to play Smash Brothers.
Yeah, well, I didn't play Smash Brothers on that piece of shit, so...
Yeah, man, we had a whole episode about the Wii, and all he did was rat garbage on it. Oh, yeah, we should probably introduce the third guy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, hey!
Trace, of course, finally returning. Like, what was the last episode you were on?
Like, he was exploring various galaxies.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, yeah, definitely check out the No Man's Sky review, where John and Trace played that.
It wasn't good.
2 weeks after that review, I sold the game.
Yeah, I believe it.
Apparently now it's okay
after the update, but I'm not going to buy it.
After a little too late.
4 months.
Yeah, 4 months.
It's
yeah,
a game. It's a game now.
But Tracy, you have any experience with the first Legend of Zelda?
Actually, yeah. I played it on the GameCube right over there.
Mm-hmm.
Visual component.
Yeah, it was going to be a video podcast soon enough. We might do that. We can point the camera towards the GameCube at one point.
I never played it all the way through. But
just like John.
A little tidbit here. I've played almost every single Zelda, but never beaten one.
Heresy!
Oh, see, that's kind of the opposite of me. Like, the ones I've played, I've usually gone through and beaten. But I haven't played a lot.
Yeah, haven't you beaten a few multiple times?
Yeah, I play through, like, the ones that I know a lot, but I don't play the different ones.
Well, that's the thing about the original Legend of Zelda. It's actually a very difficult game. It kind of has a Dark Soul approach where it doesn't tell you what to do.
I think that's why I stopped.
Yeah, I think that might be why. I think a lot of people did not expect that for a Nintendo game at the time like that. And I didn't play until, like, years later where I kind of knew, like, what it was and kind of I used a guide. I cheated, so I knew exactly where I was going.
That doesn't even count.
Yeah, but of course, one of the fun parts about the game is that it is pretty cool. I never knew this at the time, but if you put your name in as Zelda, because you can choose your name, you don't choose your name as Link. You kind of unlock a second quest mode, which changes the game world itself and like adds new dungeons and things. Which at the time that was really different.
Similar to what you could do in Metroid, I believe it was like Justin something. I can't remember the passcode. But if you did that, you would start off as an undressed Samus.
Right.
Like the reveal, she's like wearing
a woman?
She's wearing like a pink bikini suit. Her Zero suit, basically. And green hair, for some reason.
Oh, wow.
Because the pixels NES couldn't really
tell. This was Super Metroid?
Or no, this Metroid? Is OG Metroid. I think it's Justin Lin.
Lin?
Is that a...
He directed the
Fast and Furious.
The good ones.
Yeah.
And the newest Star Trek.
Yeah, that was alright.
No, Beyond's really good.
That's one of the best scenes of the year.
No, it is not.
The song choice is weird.
Oh, my
but
God.
But it had me feeling stuff.
All right, let's put a pin. That ending in a song defeated the enemy fleet. It killed Idris Elba's fleet.
A good
weird
song.
Monster creatures.
A good song.
I'm willing to accept it.
Oh, my God.
Just spoiled the fact that Idris Elba's bad in that movie.
What are you talking about? He was... What?
No, I didn't know he was in that movie.
Oh,
Until the day before, and I accidentally saw a trailer. And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks for
the reviews. Well, it's hard because he's buried underneath all that makeup.
All that good prosthetics.
No, not at all. But
Simon Pegg's a good writer, folks.
Yeah, not for that last third of the film, though. He likes to write stuff when he's in the scene.
Because he's good.
Sure. No, he is. I don't mean to hate on Simon Pegg. It's just that, yeah, you fucked up in the ending there. But yeah, Legend of Zelda, I mean, I played all the way through. It's a very difficult game. You guys didn't play all the way through it. So.
For that very reason, it is a very difficult game, and I really love the story behind it. Mm. The fact that Miyamoto just, like, dug around in his backyard, and he was like, this could be a cool game idea. It's back when... And Miyamoto isn't the guy behind everything now. No. I kind of feel like he's really just a face, sort of. And an energy. He is the spirit of Nintendo at this point, rather than the guy.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the mascot. He's a mascot himself.
Yeah, but back in those days with Mario and Zelda, his genius really showed through. Because, like you said, it really is kind of like a Dark Souls of its time. Mm-hmm. And that was 30 years ago, which is crazy. Exactly why we picked Zelda as the main topic, because our namesake turned 30 on Saturday. Before this post. So. Mm-hmm.
Which is, of course, Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link. Probably the weirdest of all the Zelda games. Certainly the earlier Zelda games, where it took a 2D side-scrolling perspective, and where it probably introduced the most RPG mechanics,
which
disappeared from the rest of the series after that. It was definitely... the most experimental the series ever got.
Yeah, it had, experience points? It had an overworld, which was really weird at the time for a Zelda game, for sure. I don't think it's as weird now in retrospective as some might think, because I think...
A lot of games like it now.
Well, no. It's more the fact that... Think about this. Like, an early Nintendo, you know, the NES is doing well. Mm-hmm. Your games are taking off for some reason. Well, what is a sequel? What do you just make the same thing? Which, in the case of Super Mario Brothers 2, they did make the same exact game for Japan, and I remember that audience was like, "This is too difficult for a Western game."
Yeah,
you know, and so
it's never released.
So then we get Super Mario Brothers 2, which is also pretty different from Super Mario Brothers 1. You know that whole story. It's actually Doki Doki Panic. Mm. It's made for something else, but still, I think when you look at it in that context, I really love that kind of experimentation. Sequels don't do that now. Yeah. When you get a sequel, you just expect the exact same thing. And I don't know. I would love to see more experimentation. And I think not just in Zelda, but in games in general, like, let the sequel be wacky. That's kind of cool. That's a cool idea. Yeah. I know with the budgets being as big, you can't do that anymore. But again, it is our namesake.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that is because, we are errors because I am error when Link goes to visit that morbidly obese purple elf man.
Yeah,
his own name.
There's a lot of programming that's going on. He does know his name. It's error.
My dream someday is to have our own, like products and, like, shirts and stuff. Like, I want to get to that point and where we can have, like, animated versions of, like, all of us. And where one of us can be the drunk purple elf man and the other one can be, like, Link. But we have to change him to a certain extent where they can be, like...
Well, I mean, like, obviously I'm Link.
Yeah, of course. Would I be drunk purple elf man?
I mean, by process of elimination.
I'll be the dialogue.
Yeah, you can be the dialogue. Yeah. No, you can be Navi. You can be just your head. We'll use your head on there. It all came together. Don't steal that! Don't steal that!
TM.
But yes, I mean, we owe a lot to The Adventure of Link, and kind of moving on from that, we go
Well, actually, hold on, Trace.
I'm sorry, Trace.
Did you ever get any sort of experience with this? Because I feel like this has to be one that doesn't get seeked out as much.
Well, because I bought, like, the Nintendo GameCube package that came with the first Legend of Zelda, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask. And
a great deal.
That's a really good deal. I never played Zelda 2, except, like, one time, and I got confused. It was a long time ago, and I was like, nah, I don't want to play this.
Well, because it's kind of weird and off-putting when you first kind of get into it.
So. Yeah. Imagine being a kid, though, back in that day, like, oh, I love The Legend of Zelda, here's the second one. What the fuck is this?
Yeah, Link looks weird, he's like just a massive...
He's a teen boy, and, like, we could dive deeper into the timeline later, but Zelda 2 is actually the last game in one of the three timelines.
Sure. You explained that to me, like, I think twice so far. I still didn't understand. I don't get it, but...
We'll go over it later.
Yeah, Trace is looking at the timeline right now. He's got, like, a notepad all around the room. He's like, I know where it is. Everything's connected. This is when it
works. Ganondorf's coming back.
I've been smoking a cigarette this whole time. Like,
old school journalism
going on. Yes, exactly. But let's move on to my favorite Zelda game ever, A Link to a Past.
Cool. I was about to say, favorite, and you still can't pronounce it, huh?
Nah, shut up. So it kind of returned to the top-down perspective and included like a three-fourths type of perspective, where it's like, you've seen kind of those games before, kind of like Pokemon. My chair is squeaking. It kind of similar to like, you know, the original like Pokemon Red and Blue and stuff like that kind of perspective. And where it really, I think it has some of the best pixel art on all of the the original SNES games, and that's what I should say. This is actually the first A Legend of Zelda game to be on SNES. It was 4 years after I think Adventure Link, and so that shows you that they took their time making this game because I think of the negative reaction that happened with Adventure Link because it was so different. And so just for me, it made me appreciate Zelda and how it would carry over even when eventually would move to 3D. Like it really kind of fleshed out like all the characters, the worlds, the enemy types. It made it something where it was special.
I think it's also one of the easiest to return to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which says a lot about, well, it's placed as a classic in gaming history. Mm-hmm. The SNES has some of the best games of each respective franchise. So Link to the Past, Super Metroid, the best Final Fantasies. Let's talk about Super Mario World being the best game of all time for me.
Certainly.
So yeah, like The Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past. Is his hair purple in this game? Is his hair purple in this game?
No, it's orange.
Okay, I could have sworn there was a time. What about when he goes to the Dark World? Is it purple?
I think that, yeah.
Okay, there we go. And it was also later re-released for like Four Swords Adventures. And later games, they kind of, especially the handheld ones, would take on this sort of perspective. Mm-hmm. Minish Cap, the aforementioned Four Swords Adventures also have this art style.
Right.
So I would love, and doesn't A Link Between Worlds kind of is a direct sequel in a way to this game.
It is.
Which is also one of the highest rated Zelda games, especially in recent years, Link Between Worlds. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten a hands-on time with that one.
I just had to pause it so we could start, record this.
But yeah, definitely, A Link to the Past is like one of the best games of all time. So.
No, absolutely. I mean, Trace, have you played?
This has to be a miss for you.
I've never played A Link to the Past.
Okay. I mean, you're kind of playing it now with A Link Between Worlds. That's very much that.
That's what I've heard. I've heard this. It's very similar. And I'm loving A Link Between Worlds, by the way. It's very good.
Awesome. But I do have a Super NES, a best Christmas gift I've ever gotten in my life. Awesome. And I'm definitely getting A Link to the Past. Okay. And I'm going to play it on the OG system.
How much are they going for, like, online?
I think, like, $50.
That's not bad. I thought they'd be, like, over, like, $100.
I mean, it's an open box copy.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
I would kind of rolling the dice with whether it works or not, but I'm willing to roll dice.
All the artwork's been like scraped off.
Jeff's game is written in there.
Oh my god. I used to do that when I was a little kid, because I used to like trade all my games with all my friends. I put like Chris's, or I didn't do Chris's because I didn't know I had to put an apostrophe S, and so I did CJ's game. So that's what I used to do. It's like I still have like Mario Kart 64.
Did you have some thieves for friends or something? You thought they were jackals trying to steal your games?
What game was it? Donkey Kong 64 was stolen from me. I never knew what happened.
Isn't that game garbage though? Maybe someone did you a favor.
It's mediocre.
DK. Donkey Kong. Have we had an episode? I swear I've used that for something.
Yeah, you did the Ray Wise
stuff. Oh, yeah.
You sing it to me every night when I'm going to bed.
That's right. That's right.
And
David Wise.
What was it? The one where you play as, like, the Space Hero Super Gemini things?
Jet Force Gemini.
That's it. That one was stolen from me. That was a great game. I love that game.
Yeah, that was good.
So is there anything in between A Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time?
In terms of timeline?
In terms of games.
I believe at this point, we would have gotten a Link's Awakening, DX, whatever. I don't know what DX means.
I don't know what it is.
But let's see. You put me on the spot, bro.
Well, no, I didn't know. I said to get the Wikipedia open in case we had to do that. We're scrolling.
Also, DX is the frowny face with the closed eyes.
Yeah, just go to 1990s. We're at 1990s. There we go. It's happening in real time, folks. So what we got? Link's Awakening is the next one. That was, for the Game Boy.
We are totally experts at
I never played that.
This.
There's so many games.
I never played Link's Awakening, so I know nothing
about it. Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of different spinoffs that I don't think have any role in the timeline.
Yeah.
Other than, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons.
Which I never played.
I played those.
What?
I played those games.
Okay, if you could speak to them, I mean, what was that before or after? Who cares? You could speak to Oracle.
I mean, I should have been this. I played them when I was 8.
Okay.
So it's been 11 years or so.
But you enjoyed them at the time?
I remember enjoying them.
Yeah.
I remember them being really weird in tone.
Yeah.
I remember them being, maybe it's because like I didn't play a lot of Game Boy and it was a little different for me.
Okay.
But that's all I remember really.
I mean, you know more than John and I do in regards to the Oracle games.
Okay, but I can't be held to that kind of state. Like, again, I was also like less than 10. Link's Awakening came out when I was born in 93, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was born in 91, so that was the year that
A Link to the Past came out.
It was meant to be. But I think we should probably move on to the, arguably might be the most important Zelda game. Certainly in terms of like where the franchise went for years later with Ocarina of Time.
And where it would be expected to go.
Yeah.
Which would lead to some backlash for certain games.
I mean, how so?
Okay, well, remember the response? I don't know if anybody really remember the response. But, okay, so Ocarina comes out. Yes. You follow it up with a direct sequel to Majora's Mask, which has never happened. We can kind of go back to that. Then Oracle Seasons in Four Swords.
Yeah.
But, so, after Majora and Ocarina, you don't see a Zelda game for a couple years. And yes. You get that reveal when the GameCube comes out of basically would kind of just become Twilight Princess. And the whole,
I forgot about Twilight Princess.
As most, I think, would like to.
Yeah.
And, like, E3 is flipping out. Yeah. Or I forgot, Gamescom, maybe.
Yeah.
But what you get is Wind Waker.
Yes.
And that cartoony style, people were pissed.
People had very negative reactions.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, which actually, I think Wind Waker might be the best game.
Well, it's funny. Franchise. There's a lot of like reverse history. People say, "Oh, it's a great game." Like when it was released on the Wii U, when they did that HD.
Probably the best game on the Wii U.
it is. It probably is.
Some tough competition.
But that's just some reverse history. People say, "Oh no, it's a great game." But back in the day, I remember people hated that fucking thing. Like hardcore Nintendo fans really disliked it, but
because they wanted more Ocarina.
Yeah, which I don't blame them, because Ocarina was one of the best games on the N64. And certainly for me, it was one of the games that, I mean, that's kind of why you bought the system, was Super Smash Bros., GoldenEye, Super Mario Kart, Mario 64, and, Ocarina of Time. Like, those are always, like, the five games I remember. Like, everyone had those games. And just for me, like, now that we look at it, it's like, there's just like one tree in the middle of the polygon grass. But back when I was a kid playing this, it's like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like it. And the idea that you would start the game where it'd be all peaceful and serene, and then the other half of the game, it takes place in like this, this chaos, this period of destruction where everything's like wiped out or gone. It's like, wow, this is kind of really dark for a Zelda game. And so, I mean, I haven't played it in years. Not 20 years, but 15 years maybe the last time I played it.
Whoa, really?
Let's say 10, 12.
So you never played the 3DS remakes or anything?
I haven't.
See, I just finished replaying that like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Great game.
Yeah.
And like, they up-res the graphics a little bit.
That's good.
But it's like, I have it on GameCube and it doesn't look that dissimilar from the N64 version. It still looks good.
Yeah.
Like, it looks old, but it looks fine. It's playable. And I grew up playing Ocarina of Time even on N64 because that's just what we had around the house at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been one of my favorite games. Like, yeah. Not even just Zelda games, just one of my favorite games to play.
I mean, John, what's your kind of opinion on Ocarina of Time? Because you seem to be taking a negative. I'm getting the sense that you're upset.
No, I just out of all of them, it's the one where I just like haven't really dug deep.
That was
deep
one of the ones
you
did never.
No, finished. I mean, it's one of the ones I've never finished. But like, I just haven't. I haven't really like. It just didn't hook me.
Yeah,
it really didn't. I don't know. Maybe because I didn't get to it till like when I was playing N64. It was Super Mario 64 and GoldenEye. Super Mario 64 is the superior game. GoldenEye and Star Fox and like Smash Bros. Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, so like Pokemon Snap? Huh?
No, that's a garbage. That's a piece of garbage.
Nah, that's a damn good game.
Remember when we all went to Blockbuster to get our photos from there? Because you can go there if you are an old man.
I don't remember that at all.
Oh, that was huge. There's just commercials for it on YouTube. You can find them. Yeah, go to your local Blockbuster, get your Pokemon Snap pictures printed out.
That's incredible.
That is actually
Polaroids.
That's actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Blockbuster was back in the day, they were cool.
Which is basically the precursor to live streams, just like the photos.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I think this is a testament to how different Zelda really is from a lot of the other franchises. I remember this was sort of the early games, because I did have an N64 growing up, and I like played this a few times. And I tried to get into it, and it was just too big for me at the time. I just, my little brain couldn't handle it. I was five.
Yeah. No, I get that. You know, it's, you know, it was so open, and it kind of doesn't give you, like, a certain sense of direction.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you what to do. Like, you kind of have to talk to people to figure it out, and even then, it's still a little bit confusing. I remember using walkthroughs when I was little to play it, because I couldn't do it.
And I'm MLG and refuse to use walkthroughs, so.
I use walkthroughs. I'm an old man. I need them.
But something I'm always more interested in, like, diving into is its sequel, Majora's Mask. Because, again, like what they did with Legend of Zelda to Zelda 2, Majora's Mask is just kind of weird. It's very, very dark, too. Yeah. Also, I've never...
Like the Smiley Moon guy? I'm going to kill you all!
This one I actually played more than Ocarina of Time, but I would play the same day. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, I don't think I knew the concept of saving yet when I was playing it.
Right.
So I'd play the day and then notice that I would have to start over again, and I was just like, okay, well, I guess I don't have to save. It would just keep playing over and over the same, like walking around the world. But I assume you probably have the most experience with what it is.
I do. At the time, I really liked the game because I thought it was, I mean, it was so different, and as a little kid, it was so dark. You had the evil moon god thing coming down, so smiling creepy at me. It's very creepy. You had the mask salesman. I turn into like a little wooden Pinocchio boy. It's like, that's what happened. What is happening?
That's what happened to me, and I was like, I can't do anything. Yeah. I don't have a sword. Mm-hmm. I thought I was supposed to have a sword, and I'm just like, I'm shooting like peas or whatever.
I mean, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
You know, it's body horror, but as time has gone on and I've played the game recently, like in the last few years, it's like, wow, there's some gameplay mechanics that just don't hold up, particularly that you have a limited time to actually beat the game or you lose. Like the giant evil moon face man, he'll come down and destroy everything and you have to restart. It's like, I don't like that.
But you like Dead Rising.
No, I don't like that mechanic in Dead Rising.
Okay.
I like the later entries in the series, specifically Dead Rising 3 and 4, because they took that out.
I think that's interesting.
I don't like being on the timer because it stresses me out. I like to play games at my own leisure.
That's why I've never finished Majora's Mask. Yeah. It's too stressful. I can't finish it. And also because, like, I was always little when I was trying to play it, and it's way too fucking scary.
You are very bad with scary games.
Because I don't like...
Is he worse than you?
Outlast is fucking terrible.
Oh, my God. I want you guys... When we eventually do our Let's Play series, because we will, I'm going to have you two play Outlast 2, and I'm just going to sit in the back, and I'm like, Robert De Niro, just go... That'd be great. Can't wait.
You just killing Trace right now. He's just loving these jokes. He doesn't get this much play when I'm with me.
That really hit for me for some reason.
A third member is so good. It really is. Like, it's even better.
Because it plays up someone else's jokes.
It does. It works so well. I'm happy. He's laughing at my jokes, and you just sit there silently all the time. And I just feel, well.
That must be a lot of dead air.
On to the next news story, I guess.
Jeez.
Moon God. Trying to crush me.
Majora's, like, talking about this Majora's Mask is really making me think, wow, Nintendo did some crazy-ass shit back in the day. Like, we're talking about Zelda 1 being a Dark Souls precursor.
Yeah.
Majora's Mask being a Dead Rising precursor. What? It's 12 years out of the gate. They're so far ahead.
Yeah. They were kings. I mean, back then, they were kings. They were the best.
To me, the most frustrating thing about Majora's Mask is that you need a new 3DS to play it.
Yeah.
I got that.
That's it.
He does have it.
That's the thing. And I can't play...
No, Jesus. He gets fucking heated about this.
I can't. This doesn't make sense to you.
Chris, sit down.
I can't play an SNES game on my 3DS because my 3DS can't handle it. It's only for a new 3DS.
Really?
Link to the Past, I can't play on my 3DS. I need a new 3DS for it.
That's wild.
It doesn't make any sense. It's that's why I don't like Nintendo now, because they're just like all their policies and a lot of their games just striking up a wall.
We a day out from the Switch, though. That could all turn around.
Yeah,
we could be eating your lunch right now.
I heard it's going to be really hard to get that. They're only stripping out like 2 million units or something.
God,
for that.
They always do that. They do that stuff.
They don't know they're a popular company. They just, for some reason, like, oh, no one in America likes us. Bullshit! Bullshit!
they do that false scarcity stuff. They did the same thing with the Mini... NES recently.
Oh yeah, even the new the new 3DS. I just bought it on Black Friday. Yeah. I was at GameStop at 4 a.m.
They had four.
No, they had 8.
See, I don't. Yeah, they're known for doing that. That bugs me.
Hey, but remember they did it with Amiibos, and now they can't like throw them down the toilet fast enough.
I can't believe. Yeah, that's right. The Amiibos are fucking worthless now.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
They're just Best Buy has daily a sale on Amiibos. I think you can get a Tom Nook Amiibo for $2.
Can I get a Wario Amiibo? Because I just want Wario because I love him.
Why?
He's awesome. He's like an evil Mario. He's just a piece of shit. He's greedy.
He just wants
to kill everybody.
I think it's available.
Yeah, I want one.
Go ahead. I would actually really love to do a Wario retrospective one day.
God.
I
owned all the WarioWare games.
I love WarioWare games, yeah.
They're... Oh, no, not WarioWare. Fuck that. I'm Wario World.
What?
Wario World.
WarioWare is the only Wario game.
No. Back
played.
In the day, when the Game Boy Color, the dogs are not happy with us. They're barking outside.
They also hate Mario. Wario steals their bones.
He's great.
Farts in their mouths.
I know, he farts. It's amazing. No, the Wario World games, like 1, 2, 3, I had them for like Game Boy Color. And in the Game Boy Advance Wario games, good stuff. Love it. He gets fat when he eats cake, and he's like morbidly obese. It's like, it's hilarious.
Allegory for America. You know, honestly, he might just be an America allegory from Japan's point of view.
I guess so. I mean, what, Mario is like a super racist Italian.
What the fuck is Waluigi?
We don't know what he's. He was introduced in Mario Tennis. He's never had his own game.
Wait, that was his first game?
That was his first appearance, is Mario Tennis. And you know what the funny thing about that is? When they were marketing that game, like during the early ages of the internet when I first had it, what you can do is you can go to MarioTennis.com, and one of the options was to clip Waluigi's toenails and send them to someone via email. Which I did on multiple occasions.
Wait, what?
I am not bullshitting you. That happened.
Was it like a prank?
I guess so. I thought it was hilarious. I love this Waluigi guy. He's like Wario, except skinny. Good times.
I love the internet. I love the internet so much.
We need a Wario Waluigi again.
What Zelda were we on?
Majora's
Mask.
Oh, I was going to mention in Majora's Mask, I really like that there's a hand in a toilet that talks to you.
Yeah, really fucking weird. That is good.
Oracle of Seasons and Ages came out 1 year later.
Yeah, which I think, I mean, Trace, you said that you played them. And
I barely remember them.
So,
Folks, that's more than one of us.
Yeah.
I finally made him cry. I finally broke John. It finally happened. I feel accomplished for the first time in my life.
No, but at this point in time, now it's Wind Waker, which I think is the Zelda, outside of Link to the Past, like the 3D Zelda that is going to last. Because I love cel shade. I just love that art style. Because I know you guys are saying, like, Ocarina gameplay-wise still holds up, but I don't know.
Wind Waker is a better-looking game. I'll say that. I don't know if Tracer was the same.
Wind Waker is my favorite Zelda game.
Okay.
There we go.
And also, I think... I still have the GameCube version and I play it sometimes. It still looks great. Like, it's one of the, it's held up better than most games from, what year? 2002?
Yeah. So, 15 years ago.
God. it's still, in my opinion, it still looks incredible even on GameCube.
No, I mean, a lot of Nintendo's GameCube games still look good.
Yeah.
You know, because they had that cartoony, like, art style always holds up better, you know, than, you know, polygon crap, you know, like
which
like,
is
like Final Fantasy VII.
That's why a lot of N64 games and early PS1 games kind of look like garbage.
Yeah,
except Crash.
Yeah,
Crash is the shit.
Nope.
Don't do that.
Nope. The shit. You suck your tongue out like your kiss or something. The what are you shit. Doing? All right, Gene Simmons.
He was in YM.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, yes, he was. He looked very sad.
I was actually kind of wondering when we saw the movie. I was like, is that really him?
Yeah. His the other guy looked not good either.
Well, that's the cat guy, right?
I don't like
yeah,
Kiss.
Yeah, he had breast cancer.
I don't even like Detroit.
I like Kiss. Kiss is good.
Yeah. They're garbage.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's metal rock and roll.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Moving on from that, we had something called Four Swords Adventures. Now, was this the multiplayer game?
Yeah. Four Swords was, I believe, Four Swords and Four Swords Adventures No, I don't know the difference between the two, actually. I think they might be direct sequels. Four Swords Adventures included Link to the Past for the GameCube, I believe.
Yeah.
But yeah, they introduced something really cool where you could connect your GBA to your GameCube via that, like, adapter.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, the player one was on the screen, but the other players, like, 2, 3, 4, were on their Game Boys.
Right, okay.
Which, again, Nintendo did some weird stuff.
They did.
And I don't think it's pointed out enough. What the kind of weird things they did. They really wanted to connect the GameCube and the GBA a lot. I had that, I had that black thing that you put on the bottom of your GameCube where you put your GBA games into.
Yeah, okay.
And you can play your GBA games on the TV.
Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest
shit. Like, for the N64, they did that too.
For what?
For the, like, original Pokemon games. You can play them.
Wait,
like,
really?
Red and blue. Yeah, you can do that. There's, like, you can get, like, an adapter, which then...
to transfer your Pokemon to Pokemon Stadium.
No. You can actually play the game where there's, like, an adapter where you can put in your Game Boy cartridge, connects to the N64 controller, and then that's how you play the game on the on your television.
Fucking magic, guys.
Yeah. Back in the day, it was awesome. But we kind of skipped over Wind Waker. Does anyone else want to kind of speak to that again?
I mean, Trey said it's his favorite. Yeah. I think it's going to be the one that, like, people will return to, especially after the Wii U remake, which I think the biggest gripe with Wind Waker really was just, like, you're floating in the ocean for long periods of time. But in the Wii U version, it kind of, like, edits that out. The same way in the 3DS remake of Ocarina of Time, it kind of makes the water temple bearable. Mm-hmm. So.
See, that the sailing is actually really why I like Wind Waker. I love the island aesthetic, and that's actually specifically why it's my favorite game. I just like the tropical theme.
No, it's definitely different from all the other Zelda games, which are kind of like a medieval forested area, with the exception of some of the temples you go into, like the water temple and lava temple, etc.
And after that, it's 4 years until we get a big main Zelda. Like I said,
we're just gonna skip the Minish Cap.
No, I'm just saying. Like, we talked about it.
Know what that is?
The Minish Cap is sort of the origins, I think, of how Link gets his hat, because Trinkle, something like that.
Tinkle.
Tinkle.
He's in a different. I think he's in Four Swords.
He's in Wind Waker.
He's in a lot of.
Oh, is he Tinkle?
Yeah.
He's a recurring character.
What is he?
He's a dwarf thing.
He makes me very uncomfortable.
Yeah. I like his tights.
His face is weird.
It is weird. It's kind of not even a face. It's kind of like lines.
Yeah. But Trace, actually, if you like, and we're going to skip over Twilight real quick, but if you really like Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass and Spirit Tracks are kind of like spiritual successors.
I was planning on getting those next to play them.
We might as well just go do a bunch of reviews for these games.
We should. A lot of reviews.
Like, for someone who hasn't really beaten a lot of them, I think, especially someone with Wind Waker, where it's his favorite, and Link to the Past is like yours, I think it would be interesting to see someone, how these hold up, really, this late in the game.
Yeah.
And I don't know, give me an excuse to play all of them. But Twilight Princess.
Wait, are we just going to skip over Link's crossbow training?
Yes, we are. Is that like a Wii?
Even the wiki skips over it.
And the wiki's not in there.
It's right here.
It's in the book. Well, that's like a tome. Oh,
it's a Hyrule Historia.
Yeah, exactly.
It was literally just like an intro to the Wii game, where it's kind of like teaching you how to use the Wiimote to shoot.
Well, speaking of the Wii, I fucked up. I did a dumb with Twilight Princess because Twilight Princess was the last game released on GameCube. However, it was one of the first games released on Wii. And me thinking,
you really wanted the Wii, didn't you?
Well, I bought into it. I bought into the hype. I'm thinking, this is the future of games.
You got five.
Motion controls, this is it, guys. It's all Xbox 360, PS3, whatever. I thought the Wii version of Twilight Princess is obviously going to be the superior version because it's on the next gen console, right? And man, was I fucking wrong.
Like, the GameCube version apparently is pretty rare at this point.
Yeah, I can't find it. Like, even at the time it was rare, because Nintendo wanted everyone to buy a Wii. That's why they did that false scarcity thing with Twilight Princess, where you couldn't find it on GameCube, even after, like, a couple of years later.
I think I have it.
That's rare. That's very rare.
That promotional disc that Trace also has, I think, is pretty rare.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm sure.
Shit. I'm sitting on some shit.
See, lays annoying there.
But, like, I don't want to play, and we'll probably talk about this with the next console entry.
Yeah.
But I don't want to play Zelda with Wackle. Zelda has so much sword play in general that your arms are going to just fall off.
No. Yeah.
It's bad. I mean, did you guys play? You played the GameCube version. I mean, did you remember? Because that was, people were excited about that because it was going to return to the form in terms of like the darker aesthetic and like world. And I remember, like, famously, like, Miyamoto came out on stage and he brandished, like, the Hyrule shield with the sword. And people went fucking
nuts. When he kind of became a character.
He became a character. Yeah, a character. A mascot for Nintendo. So that's what, when I think of Twilight Princess, that's what I always think of. So not even the game itself. Because I was just like, and it was my biggest regret because I'm sure it's actually a great game, but I played on the Wii. I'm thinking, I couldn't finish it. I'm just like, ugh.
To me, it's funny that after all the backlash that Wind Waker got for not being what they had shown at Games World or whatever it was, and then it's like the ultimate monkey's paw situation where you're finally giving what you want, and you're just like, oh, nah, I'm just gonna play Wind Waker again, please. It's just, it looks muddy. It doesn't.
Oh yeah, nothing about muddy. It's a good description.
I don't know. And what's the lady's name? It's not Midna.
Midna? I don't know.
And then Ganondorf's a pig.
Hey, Pigman.
Pigman.
So is it Ganondorf in this one, or is it Ganon?
Ganondorf is... Wait.
It's Piggy.
Ganondorf is his human form, so yeah, Ganon.
Ganon, okay. I always want to be sure, because I get confused, because they use that. They go back and forth with those names. So, yeah, after that, then we had Phantom Hourglass, which you just said.
And Spirit Tracks. Yeah. I've actually played quite a bit of those, and I really love those DS games. Oh. It's a little weird because you have to actually do a lot of movement with the stylus and, like, point where you're supposed to go and then tap. So, like, that is very much in the use the DS to its fullest extent. But they're actually – it's Nintendo, like, making you use their console, like, every little bit of their little handheld. But they build these games so perfectly around those mechanics, a la, I don't know, Super Mario Galaxy or...
Nintendogs.
Nintendogs.
No, not Nintendogs. I want to raise my dog. Did you guys ever have those little, what were those things, like back in the day, like during the 90s? Like they were like Nintendogs, but they were like small things you have to take care of. And you have
Tamagotchis?
That's it.
I never had one.
I had a friend
who had one, and he let me.
Did you steal that from him because he still saw your Donkey Kong?
I did not. It was a different guy. But yeah, I think he let me borrow when he was done with it. And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to do.
I'm supposed to raise this.
Yeah, I'm just like, I have a real dog.
I'm
so.
Five. I can barely wipe my own ass.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword.
Awful game. I stand by that. People. Back in the day, when people reviewed this, when Gaming Press reviewed this thing, they just, oh my god, they reveled in how supposedly great it was, saying like, oh, it's the Wii U's one of the best exclusives of that generation, and how it was like, it was, oh, this is the future of the Legend of Zelda franchise in terms of like the epicness of it, the scope of it, and just like everything about this is just a gimmick. From the flight mechanics that you have to use, because you have a giant bird in this game. That's what's called Skyward Sword, and you get a giant pelican bird. You got to fly around with it. Okay, whatever. And then everything else is like that. You know, the wagon, the Wiimote. I forgot. and using like the other thing, the other control. I forget what
the nunchuck.
I don't remember. There's a lot of stuff with it, but it was just an exercise in frustration for me. And at that point, like, that's when I had sold my Wii and I played this game on a friend's Wii. And I'm just thinking, how do you play this crap? And it's just terrible. Because we start from the beginning.
I'm going to avoid the easy you play with your friend's Wii joke and move on.
Oh, shut up.
Move on to the fact
that would have been better than this.
I don't get it.
Penis.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I actually am interested because this one, out of all of them, I don't think I will ever play Skyward Sword.
And no one's ever going to remember.
It's unfortunate because it's the beginning of the timeline, folks.
Yeah.
It's where it all begins. Oh,
supposedly.
It's creation of the world and then Skyward Sword.
Yeah. Everyone's up in like floating landmasses like Avatar.
Yeah, and this is sort of where I think the Master Sword gets its beginning or something like that.
Yeah, it's like that. Ganon's not even in it. You fight like a very effeminate shadow guy.
Oh, God. I remember that guy.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Wait, so you did play this game.
I played this game all the way through.
Trey secretly knows more about Zelda than me, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, what did you? Okay, well, so what did you think of it? Because I didn't play the whole thing.
I didn't hate it as much as you. Mm-hmm. I just remember
he fucking hates it.
Yeah, that's been made very clear to me. I just remember not liking the bird thing.
Yeah,
I didn't like having to fly everywhere, which is like ironic because I like sailing everywhere.
Water good, sky bad.
Well, it's just because the controls for the bird were annoying.
Yeah.
Like, and it didn't control well on the Wii. Like, I don't like, like you said, I don't like, there's no future in which we're using motion controls for everything.
Yeah. But hey, they had Wii Motion Plus this time.
That was added onto it.
To really make it, you know, the console work like it was supposed to originally.
More accurate.
Yeah. So, like, did that not help?
No, it did not. We didn't have the luxury of the extra feature for the Wiimote.
I don't remember.
The nunchuck.
Did it force you to use the motion controls, or could you plug up a GameCube controller?
I see. I by that point, my GameCube was long gone and broken. So we just used
guys should have seen, because I have a GameCube sitting in my room. Chris goes, wait, you have a GameCube? And just like, I haven't touched a controller in forever. Let me touch it. And just like holds the controller. Yeah.
It's a good controller.
It is. Like,
triggers, mate.
I was telling him, those triggers, they got little humpy indents to really
indented.
To really just nuzzle on that finger of yours.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah.
They cradle it.
Yeah, caress me, please.
Yeah, caress me. Yeah, that's good stuff.
I love Resident Evil.
Yeah,
that's where we got the most play.
That was great.
Yeah. Skyward Sword, I'll probably never play.
You'll never,
God, garbage Wii.
No one's talking about it anymore, I'll say that. Yep. Like, I've never heard anyone talk about it since it came out.
Yeah, like, I think that's probably how it will, or the opposite of be remembered.
Not remembered.
It's because, like, the first, it's like Zelda 1, it's the first one. Yeah. Zelda 2, it's so weird. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to count the spinoffs, but, like, Ocarina of Time, it changed things. Yeah. Majora, so weird again for in changing things, and it also got a re-release. Wind Waker, one of the most beautiful.
Yeah. Controversial.
Yeah. Twilight Princess actually might also be forgotten.
I know people that like that game.
I know, but it's just, when I look at the grand scheme of everything in this timeline, Twilight Princess and Skyward Sword just kind of seem like...
They're the ones that no one will ever talk about.
I'd rather, honestly, play the DS ones.
The DS ones are actually universally better than the two console ones, yeah.
I mean, speaking of that, I mean, we kind of move on to A Link Between Worlds, which is the kind of successor to A Link to the Past, which was on the 3DS, which, of course, you said you're playing right now.
I was playing it right before we started recording this. It's a great game. I'm loving it. It controls very well. Like, the systems run so smoothly.
Yeah.
It just feels good. It feels like a good Zelda game, and the dungeons are really creative. It really it has that kind of 2D, 3D mix of
top down, but then it kind of goes to like different types of perspective, like 3/4 perspective. It plays around with that.
Yeah, it kind of actually really challenges your depth perspective when you're looking down in some temples. I think it uses it really creatively, and I'm really enjoying it so far.
Yeah, and I love the villain too, the paint guy who basically captures everybody and puts them in paintings. Yeah. It's all about that because Ganon's not in it, so.
He's in it.
He's probably in it. Yeah.
Because the paint.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well,
I'm in the middle of it, but I know the paint guy is trying to release Ganon.
Yeah, that's it. He's trying to release him. Yeah. Okay. That's right. I forgot about that.
Ganon's like in almost all of these games.
I think he is a pig man in that.
Except for I think the first few. Yeah. Well, Ganon is the pig. Ganondorf is the human.
Yes.
I don't really know
what pig
differentiates the two. And then there's Triforce Heroes.
Folks. Which was the
which
most
are right
recent.
Here?
Yeah.
Shut the.
We're certainly better than Triforce Heroes, which was kind of.
Tame and went to me.
Well, they tried to say, "Hey, this is a multiplayer Zelda game," and it's like we don't want that. People don't want the way hardcore Zelda players. I believe, and maybe I'm assuming, but I don't think they want that.
I don't really want Nintendo to handle multiplayer.
Do you mind if I click on this, guys? I actually don't remember this at all.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to look
because there's only one after that, so we all know that one is.
I feel like if I see the cover, I'm going to know what
it's
going
to have a green and a blue and a red Zelda.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've seen this before. I had no idea what it was ever.
And the thing that I just remember about it is that they all stack on each other. Again, like, you know, like the human centipede.
So it's a multiplayer game on the 3DS. Does each player need to have their own copy?
Yeah.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I don't think... I fooled around with it. You know, I fooled around. But, it never caught my attention, unlike A Link Between Worlds would certainly do.
I don't have enough friends to be playing multiplayer Zelda, let alone enough
friends. We can all play it. I mean, do I need a new 3DS to play it, though? Because then if you're shit out of luck, because then I won't be able to play it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Some bullshit.
But, I mean, yeah, then the last one, of course, is Breath of the Wild.
I have avoided most information about this game. And maybe that's because, like, I just don't really... It's not that I don't care about Nintendo, but, like, I have enough faith, one, in Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. Like, I will give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I just don't really pay attention to Nintendo press conferences because after, like, two games, I don't really give a shit about their output.
Yeah.
There's no third-party support. Then again, I could
There will be, but it would be Skyrim, which came out 5 years ago.
I could be eating my words come tomorrow or tonight when all the Switch information comes out. And I really hope I am. I hope.
Yeah, I love
it. Like, we talked about it in the first segment. Breath of the Wild and Switch, if they come out the same week of Mass Effect, let's see what happens.
Mm.
I still say that Mass Effect will beat it no matter what. In terms of sales for the... compared to Zelda? Yeah, I think it'll beat it. But, I mean, yeah, for me, for Breath of the Wild, what I saw, it's...
It's big.
It's big. There's a sense of beauty to it, but I also notice how barren everything is. It's very much...
I've seen a lot of grass.
A
tree here and there.
Yeah, a tree, some snow.
Ooh, there's snow. I have not even seen
it. Well, up north. Just briefly they showed that. But the thing is, this is Nintendo's, like, first effort to do... They call it... like Zelda mixed of Skyrim, which I'm like, eh, settle down. you know? But it's like, this is their first kind of big open world game, I think, like, in a while. Like, I can't think of another type of Nintendo game that's been, like, true open world. Like, I can go from this spot all the way miles away to that mountain peak, you know, which is how they just kind of described it.
Have they ever done that?
I can't think of anything. Like, the only thing that I can think of is large kind of, like, almost open world, quote-unquote, environments, like something like Super Mario Galaxy that plays around with that, where it's a huge world, or even Mario 64, where it's a huge world, but they're segmented.
They're it's still linear. Yeah, it's arenas. Yeah.
But,
which, is that how Breath of the Wild is? Do we know if it's arenas?
I think it is all open world. Oh, wait, except for the dungeons, which
Twilight,
I think are arenas.
Twilight Princess, was that open world?
No.
Oh,
wait. I actually don't.
Ocarina of Time was to a certain extent, depending on
where I think Twilight Princess was similar to Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, it was like that.
Yeah. Okay, like
that. I mean, I only played like a little bit of it because it was Wii, so I don't remember. But I think, I don't know, because Nintendo's, they never really handled a game like that, and I can already see how...
They might fuck it up?
Yeah, they might fuck it up.
Yeah.
I'm putting my blind faith in my father's at Nintendo, and I'm gonna buy this on day one and start playing it immediately because I'm gonna play the new Zelda game.
You are oddly excited about the Switch.
I am because like it looks damn cool. But like we're gonna watch this press conference in a little bit, and maybe I'll eat my words and not want to buy it anymore. But I'm hoping they haven't, they're hiding the rest of the game from us. Because I do agree, like, it looks kind of empty. I watched some gameplay footage, and it looked kind of stale, honestly. But I hope they're just not showing us all of it. Because I also don't want to watch anything else, too. I'm trying to keep it a little bit of a secret to myself. Because I don't knowing everything beforehand. But I want it to be good. I don't know.
Much like Breath of the Wild, there is no dead air. Openness.
Well, we came to the end of all the releases. Mm-hmm. Do you want to know the timeline now, Chris?
The timeline.
Okay, so
Trace has the tone right there.
I mentioned this to John just a little bit ago. Just like 2 weeks ago, I just decided I wanted to watch a 30-minute video about the Zelda timeline and how it all worked together.
I really think you're a Zelda fanboy, and you just have never told me.
I like the games. It's just because I haven't played a lot of them. How are we doing this? Are we just starting
at the top?
How does it work?
Okay, so it starts at the beginning, which is called Creation. And this is Skyward Sword. So the first game in the timeline is Skyward Sword. And I guess this is the whole creation of the universe, I suppose.
Okay, 7 days, rested on the...
Yeah, I think that's where the sword kind of comes into play, too. Okay. And then there's Minish Cap afterwards, right?
Yes.
And that's where you get to see how he got his green hat!
Because he doesn't have the hat in Skyward Sword. I don't think he does, I remember.
No, I remember when Skyward Sword... Was it Skyward Sword or Breath of the Wild? People thought it was a girl for a second.
Yeah.
But it really was just Zelda. Or it was Link.
Very effeminate Link.
Then apparently Four Swords is in the timeline.
Yeah, Four Swords comes right after the Minish Cap.
It's the resurrection of Vaadi, which is... the bad guy in Minish Cap.
Yeah. Got it. And so then there's a Hyrulean Civil War.
Ooh, there's something ripe in there for a day.
And this is this is where Ocarina of Time comes in.
And this is where things go batshit.
This is literally the game where everything splits up.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the timeline where Link doesn't defeat Ganon.
Got it.
And this goes into, what is this called? Is this, okay, The Decline of Hyrule and the Last Hero is what this timeline is called.
Okay. The Darkest Timeline.
Fucking God.
Sounds dark.
And this includes, in this order, A Link to the Past, which is the resurrection of Ganon, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons, the resurrection of Ganon.
And it comes back a lot. Yeah,
it's like Jesus. He's the Jesus of this world.
Link's Awakening. And then in the middle of this, the monarchs of Hyrule use the Triforce. I don't know what this. I don't know how that's relevant.
Was it courage?
Courage, power, and wisdom.
That's it.
And then after that, it's The Legend of Zelda, The Resurrection of Ganon, and The Adventures of Link, The Resurrection of Ganon is prevented.
So, hey! In the Darkest Timeline, Link ultimately wins.
He still wins.
Yeah.
He can't. You know.
But it's just, that whole timeline spews this whole line of games.
That makes sense. You explain it this way, it's like, okay, I got it. So yeah. what's the
second? Okay, so go back in time again to Ocarina.
Ocarina. Okay.
So Link won, and so you remember it. Do you remember at the end of Ocarina of Time where
spoilers?
I guess you guys haven't played it.
The 3-year-old, whatever.
There's the part at the end of the game where he's standing in, I guess, heaven with Zelda, and she sends him back in time as a child because he can't be an adult anymore. That he needs to get sent back to his old time. So this is that timeline where he goes back as a child.
And that's where Majora's right back in.
So, because Majora's Mask is a direct sequel, and so that's where that comes in. And then, right after Majora's Mask is Twilight Princess, according to this.
Okay. And apparently,
still that weird world.
Ganondorf is executed.
Yeah.
Whoa!
After Majora's Mask, the Timothy of Ganondorf is executed.
Just fucking headshot, though.
He'll resurrect himself. Yeah.
And then after Twilight Princess's Four Swords Adventures, which is the reincarnation of Ganondorf and the resurrection of Vati from Minish Cap.
So it actually sounds like the child era. Things are about to go to shit.
Yeah. And that's the last game in that one, so... Oh, but wait. I guess this was made before it. A Link Between Worlds is a sequel to A Link to the Past, which was in the defeated timeline.
Right.
Where would that come in?
I think that maybe that book was came out before that.
Yeah, the book came out right when Skyward.
So it's probably in the Dark Timeline.
Yeah, probably. I guess right after Link to the Past.
Yeah,
before
Oracle.
Yeah,
it's right before Oracle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was the end of the child timeline. But also, since this is how time travel works, there's an adult timeline where he didn't get back sent back in time.
Where adult Link just keeps going.
Yeah.
Bone Zelda. Yes.
Yeah.
They are totally fucking. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to be. Come on. Give him something. No, he's saving her. It's like Mario was like, I baked me a cake.
Bobbity boopy.
I got
he wants some bobbity boopy.
I've been playing Super Mario Run, and I finally got Princess Peach's cake, and I guess I beat the game, because that says, hey, your kingdom's all good now.
Oh, really?
Sounds about right. Much like any Mario game.
I hate that game so much.
Okay, this is the adult victory timeline, basically, and in it, so Ganondorf was sealed off, but then Ganondorf is resurrected.
Man, he keeps coming back.
And Hyrule is sealed and then flooded, and that's the Wind Waker.
Why is he, but he's not an adult anymore. He's like a little monkey.
Because, you gotta think, it's not the same, in every case, it's not the same Link, it's not the same Zelda.
Right.
This is just, the whole franchise is the story of the heroes, so like...
Yeah.
So the only time it's the same Zelda and Link is Oracle, or is Ocarina to Majora, and I think Past to Worlds.
To Worlds, yeah.
So in this case, like, Hyrule's flooded, and then the story starts over.
Okay. And in the beginning of The Wind Waker, I played it a ton, there's this whole...
retelling of the story.
Yeah, and it says how the ancestors sealed him away, but then he got loose.
So they had
to flood all of Hyrule.
It's like, Noah, God.
I just love how Wind Waker ends. I love how Wind Waker ends with a straight sword to his forehead.
Oh my God, it's very
violent. Brutal.
That's an E-rated
game. Yeah, that is. I remember that. Wow, that is weird. Yeah, that game.
And in the Wind Waker, Ganondorf is resurrected.
Yes.
And so, right after that is Phantom Hourglass, and then after Phantom Hourglass, a new continent is discovered. A new Hyrule Kingdom is founded, and then Spirit Tracks.
Where they start building trains.
Yeah. That game really is about trains, huh?
Yeah.
And it says Demon King Maladus?
Maladus.
Which game was... It says he's resurrected. Which game is he from?
He's a new enemy.
Oh, he's a new one?
He's the spirits, I believe.
Oh,
he was okay. He just happened to be dead, but then he was resurrected. Yeah. That's a popular thing in Zelda. And also the Bible.
I don't really know where Breath of the Wild takes place.
Oh,
though.
I can't wait to find out.
Excellent question.
I don't think they've said.
They never say.
I get the impression that because it's like so barren and things, like
I think it's right after Skyward, I think. That would make sense.
Yeah,
like
if
the continent and world is getting created, maybe that barrenness comes into play and like everything is so wild still.
Yeah.
And every you're like out searching and trying to start civilizations or finding like talking to gods. I don't really know, but I'm just speculating here. Again, I could be eating my words in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Talking to that old man who just wants you to grab his sword and
grab my sword, Sonny.
It's dangerous to go alone,
guys. We should just close this one out. Thank you guys for listening. I'm I said hashtag John Romo last episode. I'm _ John Romo on Twitter. Chris,
I'm Chris J Herman on Twitter. You can also find me on oneofus.net doing reviews and stuff.
I'm @ Trey Saver on Twitter. Don't try to spell it correctly because you're not gonna.
He's got the dankest tweets, guys.
We'll put it in the description on the main page.
As always, you can follow us @ We Are Ericast on Twitter as well, like the whole group. If you have a question or just like any topic suggestions, feel free to shoot us an email at wearearpodcast@gmail.com. And check out all the other shows on the oneofus.net network. We've got the BS report, the OG gentleman.
It's called BS report?
Yeah. Between Bayer and
Oh, you mean movie BS.
Movie BS. My bad.
Good. You're doing a great job, John. Keep going.
Highly suspect reviews. I listened to your Silence review. I thought it was really good. I'm really glad you defended it. And as a Christian dude, I really was upset that I could not be on the episode.
I wish you were actually there.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, I like sort of this, and this is what I was gonna say in the review. Maybe I'll write up about it.
Agnostic and atheist.
Well, no. It's like I was sitting there and I was telling Trace afterwards. It was like I like cried multiple times. I found myself like praying a bunch.
Really?
And then I also had this wonderful thing where it was like I texted my old roommate Taylor. I was like, I really hope the most prejudiced and like conservative Christians see that, because I want you to know what it feels like to be persecuted for no fucking reason.
No.
And that's why I actually think Silence is one of the most important movies going into 2017.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's a whole different thing. Yeah,
but so, highly suspect reviews.
Yeah, highly suspect reviews. Check out their
Inside the Locker, which is our sports podcast.
There's Thumbtacks and Screwjobs.
Yeah, which is our wrestling podcast.
I need to get on that. Like,
you should ask. I love wrestling. You should talk to Chris about that.
Going to Royal Rumble, folks. Yeah.
Well, that...
You don't even know.
I'm not even trying to make a joke, because I don't know enough to make a joke.
Anything else we're missing?
Yeah. Digital Noise, which is our Blu-ray review podcast. And there's a bunch of other stuff that we're going to be doing.
Yeah, stuff like if you do end up donating, like the Breakfast Pub, stuff hidden behind a wall.
Yeah, subscriber content. We do movie commentaries, which we're going to do a ton more in the coming weeks.
We were on Resident Evil. That was a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah, we should do the whole franchise.
I mean, I've only seen the first one. I'd be down.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed just came out.
Yeah.
Could do something on that.
That'd be
I think that'd be really fun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as always, you know, I end this off with a call sign. So, hey, listen to the next episode.
Fuck you.
Squad alive!